Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight and the go-home show for the Red Brand ahead of Night of Champions.
Yeah, you sent us the lineup, as you always do, for our podcast prep, and I was filled with anxiety because myself, my esteemed colleague, we're traveling to Las Vegas tomorrow.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, my God.
And I look at this card, just not sure when I'm going to be able to fit in watching it because it's such an early start. It's so good. And I'm thinking, well, what if the airport doesn't have Wi-Fi? Like, where are me and Sidgwick together? Definitely going to go to watch it on my phone, sharing a headphone, which we'll definitely do because it's just so stiggity, stiggity, stiggity stacked. I just don't know at what point during that long travel day I will find the time. And it's...
You'll watch it on the metro on double speed like a mark.
Yeah, but then like...
Wait.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
I'll tell you, Bobby. I'll tell you where the f***ing lie is. The lie is in the Newcastle stations, Gateshead, Central, Monument, et al., where the signal drops. So you need loads preloaded in the stream, otherwise you're knackered. And I kind of... be like on the hook for the latest and greatest action from WWE Raw while the little circle's going round. Gets a trip off on the wrong foot, doesn't it?
It does,
We should mention what's going on here if people have just randomly tuned into this one.
Just told them.
You're going to Las Vegas, but what for?
Double or nothing.
There you go. And you're going to Dynamite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rampage.
All going well, yeah. All going well. I try not to be a cynical, jaded podcaster. That's a lie. But when you are sending me the notes for what's on the docket for tonight's show, it makes it so difficult. The contract signing, where I'm pretty sure Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch are just going to run over the story beats in a exposition-heavy promo exchange. And then I think Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes might get pulled apart when they try
under the same roof
when they try to brawl by security. So who knows?
I didn't get that weird verbiage from WWE last week. Like they've done that. Under the same roof on numerous occasions now.
Yeah, it's the it's from the Chris Jericho 2020 school, isn't it? Of going down and like searching for synonyms of where to say we're meeting up.
Yeah.
It's going to go down.
Yeah.
The Trish and Becky
face off loads for the stuff on SmackDown.
The Trish and Becky stuff before Trish puts Becky through the table, I think we'll focus on Becky signing the contract and saying something like, why don't you take my signature home to your daughter? I know she's been looking for it. Or something along those lines.
Sign with a crayon.
Or that.
Daughter's crayon.
Yes, Becky Lynch has acquired the crayon of Trish Stratus' child. The baby face in the story is another home invasion. But yeah, and that leads to a brawl or whatever, and then Trish puts her through a table to show that she's still got it, and Becky Lynch is in trouble in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, is there anything else? Anything other? I promise you, I've got a little surprise for you in a while. So be good. But yeah, anything other than just a real complete locker room emptying brawl from Cody and Brock. There's not really a lot else you need to do to set up this for Saturday, I suppose, is there?
Nah, Cody's promos have kicked ass. Like, I don't think he's had that like much material to work with, in truth. Like, after the Backlash.
It's a Lesnar program. They're all the same.
They are. And the Backlash match, like to be fair, he's done well with that finish to make it still matter, because it was the worst of both worlds. He'd got his win, so theoretically, end of feud, vindication gained. He ran away like a complete loser creep. So he had to talk around that and then make it seem like, well, I'm ready to, you know, I'll fight you again.
I've wrestled you now. You then, I'll fight you now. Just because, any kind of combat.
Just because you put me through a table, I'm Norfolk's maddest man all over again, instead of just moving on to the business of trying to finish the story and get his belt. So I kind of have trust in them both. Brock's good at this sort of chaos, and Cody's great at talking me into wanting to watch one more match. So you've got two of the better performers in this situation, but they've got to, I've said this about Cody for weeks, they've got to elevate kind of rubbish material.
They've got to they've got to elevate what is not merely rubbish material, because it's not quite rubbish. They've got to elevate the only stories that they tell with Brock Lesnar for the last, coming up to 11 years. All they've done with the Brock Lesnar heel mercenary character is pull apart security brawls, the sense of carnage, and it's weird. It's like the Shooting Star Press, where it's like, yeah, it's impressive. And, you know, the physical action is spectacular, nominally. But I've seen it a million times, and I know exactly what's going to happen, and it's a WWE template. And for, I would say, about 6 months of those 11 years, they deviated from the formula. Big banter, former Brock, vehicular destruction. That was really fun, but that's over with now.
And that time he chinned Cena and bloodied him up.
Yeah.
I think everything's been a diminished return from then.
Yeah.
Like, realistically.
That was the one, wasn't it?
The only time I've been like, oof, Christ, well, on several occasions, I've watched Brock Lesnar with the, oh, you're killing him, and that's awesome. So maybe you'll surprise us tonight with a particularly disturbing beatdown, something like the Ricochet squash, or like lobbing a chair in someone's face.
Yeah, it's not a good week to be security, is
like
it?
Like tossing a security guard all the way up the ramp onto other security guards.
Does
by
he
his belt.
Bloody up Cody's back by whipping him so hard with the weightlifting belt. Buckle first. Right across the back, like the MJF lashes stuff.
Yeah.
Cody was incredible at summoning the emotion off that when Wardlow hit the death blow. Brock could do that.
It's just lacking a certain spark.
Mm.
Brock as a heel, seen it for 11 years. It's like you don't want to ever think of Brock Lesnar. You know, when you think of like a Dolph Ziggler match and you think, Jesus Christ, this fella's been at it for like a decade and a half. It's good, but who could possibly care? I kind of feel like that with Brock Lesnar, which should be impossible.
Well, you're not the only one. He doesn't draw in the way he used to, does he? Do you remember the days when like he used to pop the numbers and that's gone?
And he used to read it when he still cared. He still cared because you're a mark. But I used to read it when he still just about cared. Maybe not so much. But you thought, all right, okay, well, you know, this guy might get a push. If it went for that bloody Brock Lesnar ruining everything, all right, it's a massive draw. He's better than anyone in kick pads.
Yes.
Artistically and commercially. Get used to it. Get with the program, kid.
But this is the road to Night of Champions, and there's a six-man involving numerous people who are going to be heading there. Imperium, obviously, Gunther is going to be defending his IC title against Mustafa Ali, against Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and a mystery partner. Who could it possibly be?
What, Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super looking forward to this. Really, really looking forward to this. So, yeah, at the moment, one of the games you can play with WWE is to spotlight the wrestlers that draw any reaction from these deathly quiet crowds. Typically, Zayn and Owens are them because you're instructed to care about those on the road to WrestleMania, and they've been fighting champions. Last week on Raw, in a bit that I earnestly quite liked, Roman Reigns set Paul Heyman a task, finding every heel he can generate a business relationship with to beat up the champions, to kind of like mask Roman's cowardice in the face of this challenge. That was a nice bit because of, obviously, the Judgment Day kind of like run Raw as the heel stable, but Imperium immediately feel like they might take that spot. Send them all against the champions, and now you've got this match to pay it off. Riddle and Gunther is just an intoxicating possibility. So the first proper exchanges between those two in a very WWE go-home show way of them being in a six-man scene. Like, it's not for right now, it's not for Night of Champions, but you know it's coming and you know it's going to kick ass. So getting those little glimpses as well, I just think this will be a hot match in front of a hot crowd. And WWE hasn't, despite the rosters, hasn't got them at the disposal. So this is genuinely one to look out for, I think.
They like the multi-man action. They don't like singles wrestling matches until the finish, but the benefit of trios matches is that they rule and they are all action and there's plenty saves, plenty big moments, not much building goes on, but that's fine. And yeah, they should get off of this and the partner's Matt Riddle. It makes all the sense in the world. They've aligned with him before. Mm-hmm. It's almost pointless doing a mystery partner gimmick because if the WWE fans were discerning and capable of disappointment, they may turn around and say, ah, Riddle, literally just teamed with him at the last pay-per-view. But they did the work, I guess, in the Battle Royal last week to link Gunther and Riddle so they could draw them even closer together depending on the outcome here. It's all NXT 2019. Your mileage may vary on that.
I could see Mustafa Ali being beaten up backstage and Riddle taking his place.
Okay.
He's got the Ali Gunther match, and maybe the idea is that Imperium have been set on him because Gunther's a touch worried. Like, Ali did well winning the Battle Royal last week. He's kind of an underdog, but they could play to that a little bit because then you've got this idea, well, like, does Ali not look like a bit of a bitch if he's not been picked for the tag team when he's fighting for the title on Saturday? But that would kind of write around that as well to slot Riddle in, because Riddle's the real quiz in the Gunther. Gunther will beat him, but he's the real quiz as a challenger compared to Saturday, which is almost just like this cool novelty thing of, I wonder how good a match they can have considering this character's a complete joke.
They could have Riddle volunteer and then Mustafa Ali at the last second goes, I'm going to do it. And then because Triple H is weird, books weird all heel matches, Ali could just not tag in at any point. And then because he doesn't do that, one of Sammy or Kevin takes the pin and he set up a match with Imperium for the tag titles at some point.
They did a really good job, I will say, last week of having gone from us here going, why have you burnt through the Imperium tag match already? To suddenly being like, oh, it's not just the Usos who could take these tag titles off Zayn and Owens. They've got multiple teams coming after them now, like you say, with the help of Roman Reigns setting everyone on them.
I really hope Sammy and Kevin win at Night of Champions. Like, I'm really interested in that match. High stakes, the result will matter.
Yeah.
Super into that. I really hope they win. Not just because I think it's a better development in the Bloodline story, but I think it's a pretty good tag division on both sides. There's like a number of different combinations of matches I want to watch for the titles now that they're with fighting champion babyfaces, and we've not really yet explored that because they've still been tied to the Bloodline. You start that now after this match.
So what you're saying is there's some great tag team contenders on Raw and some great tag team contenders on the other side.
Yes, boy.
Yes, boy.
A little bollocks. Top of bollocks.
Dub, dub, eat.
I was talking about a podcast. Not the fame.
Not the actual company.
It's all those stupid jokes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You mentioned, and I haven't really had a chance to talk to you guys about this because I was recovering from serious injury on Tuesday.
Serious. If you might call it a knock.
Yeah.
Is anything broken or strained?
Sprained, maybe.
Funny how the colour palette of Cody's titty, but not the recovery.
He's just got a bruise. I'd be so miserable about it. I would have milked it more than you. I'm not a hard man.
Yeah. I've got a pathetic pain threshold I've got.
Yeah.
But you've got a team on Monday Night Raw. It's a team featuring Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, and Rhea Ripley, and collectively,
they're in the f***ing Judgment Day.
They're recruiting new members.
Worryingly, it appears that way. Yes, and if you couldn't tell, if you spotted the Easter egg last week, if Finn Balor stood in a carefully lit mezzanine that was bathed in purple. Wait a second, was that Finn Balor? Of course it fucking was. You had ages to see him. It's sort of. It doesn't make sense, this. I'm not a J.D. McDonagh guy, and I don't want him interrupting the fun of the Judgment Day. Their chemistry is so...
It's serious, isn't it?
Yeah, they're so locked in, and he's this super serious guy, and Finn Balor recruiting him is playing the most serious version of himself to recruit him. A little bit of me worries that they might think, oh, there's a bit of Judgment Day lore where the new leader replaces the old one.
Yeah.
And J.D. McDonagh kicks out Finn Balor, and that's how he gets over. Like, he's infiltrated the spot rather than becoming the fifth member. So I don't love it, but let it play out because I suppose in terms of an NXT call-up, this is quite an interesting story to give somebody straight away. It's certainly more interesting than the I'm going to wrestle Dolph Ziggler, which was the development coming out of the Battle Royal. Like that's a match. That's happening. He's going to get his big statement in inverted commas win over Dolph Ziggler. But the story, like the hottest heel stable on Raw, want you. That's a pretty good spot to come up to the main roster on.
I'll say it's a bit weird how they've looked at Edge and thought, you know what, this Judgment Day stable isn't really working out because we've got this incredibly serious, off-putting guy who just says big words for the sake of it. Don't need that. Let's get J.D. McDonagh. You know what I mean? Like, why are they doing this?
Finn has specifically entered his, like, patter era in order to get this over.
Yeah.
He's been the best he's ever been in WWE.
Like Stooge and Al Hour of the Shop.
Yeah.
When they had the little video package of JD, I did have a flashback to the bit where he was in NXT hanging upside down like a bat. And he had forehead vein, so he's got at least one qualifying thing to get into this group.
The most Judgment Day thing he's ever done was wink in sunglasses, and it wasn't intended to be funny. It's like, if they just had him, like, wink, and we can't even see it because he's in aviators.
You're sore, so why are you taking the piss?
Let me explain to you how eyes work.
You're
all right, Patrick.
You keep seeing the same thing. Oh, why is he winking in them sunglasses? You can't see it. Well, you're sore because you're taking the piss. So why are you taking the piss out of me? I went off the rails. It was doing all right for a while.
You all right?
Well, you saw it. I don't understand. You saw it. You keep saying you didn't see it, but you saw it. Why are you taking the piss?
I scrubbed my face up.
Roy Keane, I like that.
I keep, whenever you go on Instagram, Roy Keane's over on Instagram. So if you scroll through it. Well, depending on with your algorithm, you go like that. Roy Keane's amazing. So Instagram Reels will show you a lot of Roy Keane reactions. Or you want to say he's your top keeper. That Pickford, he's got no anticipation. He's not big enough. Is he a top player? Not for me.
Is that his brand? Just sick of it all.
He's like...
Is that like...
He is, but every now and then he'll crack and like enjoy
Mika
his
Mika Richards has got like the inside track, hasn't he?
Mika Richards knows how to pop him and he's like... Okay. He's kind of been humanised in his role as pundit and it's really quite nice to see.
I like that.
A good chemistry with a boy, Mika Richards.
The evidence already, there's 100% a... Travelling the world with Mika Richards and Roy Keane coming our way. I'd watch it.
I would buy a monthly subscription to a new streaming service. I've got like 5 I don't need anymore.
Yeah.
Got Netflix, I've got Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Fight, WWE Network.
I'd rather watch them travel than like a boring comedian and their mum.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that travels with my father. Why? Because a TV company has paid me to.
It's a bad sign as well when you're doing that and your dad's the popper.
Yeah.
Like you're meant to be a professional comedian.
Who are we talking about here? Jack Whitehall? Russell Howard?
Mm.
There's loads of them. Useless.
But WWE kind of blew up my spat last week because I was going to ask every week, are Indus Share going to come this week? And then they just did last week.
Came now.
Yeah.
Dominated.
We're in the penile refractory period of Veeran is coming.
What did you...
Is it the afterglow, though?
Not really. It was a bit of a non-event, really,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, like, it was.
Wasn't it? Wasn't the NXT
it was anticlimactic. ironically, because he said he was meant to come to.
Yeah. I like that, yeah. It was the main roster version of the NXT debut. Like,
it always is, brother.
Substantially less excitement. Like, just.
Substantially less noise.
Paired
it's meant
back,
to be bigger.
Diluted. More ginger than anybody wants.
Safer.
Yeah. It was. There wasn't. That's it.
Yeah. White knuckle rider. Oh, is he going to die?
I just didn't really. Yeah, like, they've got it in them. But you would imagine the whole point of them looking safer was because they're acting under instruction to not hurt anybody on WWE's second biggest show. So it didn't exactly leave me wanting much more. In like when I'm talking about the tag division, I'm not thinking of Indus Share. There's loads of other teams I'll put in front of that. And,
speaking of NXT call-up, Zoe Stark's obviously on the main roster now. She's got a match with Candice LeRae tonight. How do you see this one going?
Very quietly.
Oh, yeah.
Not through their fault, but just Triple H can't promote stars.
Mm-hmm. They're both two of the better wrestlers in this division, but Candice LeRae's booking's been pathetic since she got called
up. Pathetic is the word.
Absolutely pathetic. Just devoid of any creativity, anything interesting. Zoe Stark's, what, like 3 weeks in, and it feels the same way. So she's been given this let the wrestlers wrestle character, but baddie. Like, you wouldn't know.
Nikki Cross is just crazy in this story.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't know, but she's kind of targeting babyfaces over heels. But fundamentally, she's just a good hand, but she doesn't like the goodies. Boo! It's not exactly something to sink your teeth into, is it? And the fans in the building will not, based on evidence.
Oh, it's going to be like, so quiet. It's going to be bleak, man.
Yeah.
This is going to be bleak. Stark's going to win. The best version of this match between two well-promoted characters with a storyline with actual stakes, with two motivated performers that the crowd have been given a reason to connect to. Ceiling on that is excellent. This will be mid and bleak and quiet, and I'm going to feel sorry for everyone involved.
We are critical of AEW's booking of the women's division, but for some balance here.
WWE's bad as well.
It's horrific. Zoe Starks, from in terms of like what like the impact behind her work, her best work, we could speak of her in the same way we do for like one of those like Jamie Hayter striking contests. But look at the difference between somebody, even in that division in AEW, that's allowed to flourish creatively and given the opportunity and the freedom to just try a few things out and see what fits and forge that connection versus Zoe Stark playing a character with this like robustly scripted but nonsensical dialogue on NXT and then getting even less than that to build a character on like some of their strikes, they're not that far apart, but one's character development versus the other is night and day, and that's even with what little time Jamie Hayter even gets. Like, never in a million years was I start to be afforded that kind of freedom.
Well, we have got a big title match tonight because, of course, unfortunately, due to Liv Morgan's injury, her and Raquel Rodriguez have had to vacate the women's tag title, so they're on the line tonight. Raquel's got to find herself a new partner.
Incredible that this isn't the talking point of the show. You're not leading with this. It's just some business to tie up at the end. It's just a women's title being vacated. You're going to get a title change tonight, and no one cares.
You're going to potentially strap up Ronda Rousey. Like, the Ronda Rousey Ronda Rousey bullet points being moved, like, further and further down the talking points over the years is promotional malpractice.
Uh-huh.
I know she's not been as dialed in, maybe, but I feel like early days in this run, there was just, somebody just needed to have a conversation and then everybody get on the same page and it's like, right, there's some good matches coming your way, we'll book to your liking, find yourself again, it's okay to take time to get back into it and it'll be great. And that has never, ever happened. And now we're left with this, like a proper mid-card concern at best.
I'm not joking, right? If I was in the wrestling bubble and had, and there are people inside it, right? And I knew nothing really of UFC or anything except wrestling. And I'd fallen into a coma in January 2018. And I'd woken up in May 2023 and watched this match on television. I'd have no earthly idea that Ronda Rousey was A, the most famous sports athlete, maybe irrespective of gender at one point on the planet, and had previously embarked on an incredible WWE run for a year. You'd have no idea whatsoever. It's frightening, the process of what WWE does to its talents. At its worst, to be fair, at its worst. How do you do it? How do you make it so banal. Mm. How do you get excited about it all the time, Wilborn?
I'm intrigued to see if this is the catalyst for them trying to reinvigorate the Baszler-Rousey sort of tag team. Obviously, it's had a few rough starts with injuries and what have you.
One of the belts won't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It feels like it's a given that they are going to win the title tonight. Other teams include Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, who I like. They're a fun pairing. And Io Sky and Bayley, obviously, Damage Control don't feel too long for this world. So it feels like unless Raquel can pull a sensational partner out of a... I don't know, maybe.
Did it say elimination rules or not?
That's a good question.
I was just thinking because I quite like the Bayley and Io rift and not knowing which side Dakota's going to pick, but there's your split. Like, I like getting to see that now. That's where we're headed. And Bayley and Io Sky with actual emotional investment off the back of this split should be a great match too. So, and it's one that will actually have a story building into it. So I'd quite like them, if it was an elimination, I'd quite like them to make the final two and Io to be a really spirited babyface in the context of this match against Ronda and Shayna, but then Bayley screwing up and then Ronda and Shayna pick the bones. If not, you could potentially set up a story for Raquel. Now that Liv's gone, you presume she's going to move back into single stuff. You could just overnight create a story by having a mystery partner turn on Raquel. Somebody that Raquel doesn't like, that doesn't like Raquel, who doesn't know, and she's like, I'll be a partner. And then turns on her in the match, and then okay. You've got a story for her because she was looking like a real prospect.
Yeah.
And it was always just keeping the belts warm with Liv Morgan, truthfully, anyway. So just get on with that. And then you've got like a story, just a match that isn't set up pretty much impromptu, but just with a week's notice, like this Candice LeRae and Zoe Stark one.
Emma, like, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's even on the right roster, but
she went to Raw, didn't she, with Midkip?
No idea.
I can't remember.
But yeah, I think it's a Shayna and Ronda win tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, now you've done all that, would you like your little surprise?
Yeah. Yeah,
please.
So, Sige, recap what we were talking about the other day on numerous podcasts involving the Surrender Cobra.
So, I watched Matt Hardy on Rampage a couple of weeks back after the Firm deletion, after months of contract nonsense ending in a cinematic match. And then Matt Hardy's challenged Ethan Page and the Guns to a trios match, the stipulation of which is if Matt Hardy's team wins, he gets control over Ethan Page's contract. Stop doing contract stuff. Even Jeff Hardy said it, and no, hanging a lantern on it does not make it better. In my fragile, hungover state, my body did this to me. I'm not doing a bit. The classic relegation pose where you put your hands on your head, and your elbows jut outwards as if to say, oh, we've been bloody relegated. And then we subsequently found out through a listener that... Sorry, I've forgotten your name. I'm very sorry.
I'll dig it out if I can find it.
That in America, they call this... Oh, my God, the Green Bay Packers. It's not looking good for them. Then the fans know it, too. They're doing the Surrender Cobra.
David Esposito.
Yes.
Thank you, David.
Greatest country in the goddamn world.
The fans know that they're doomed. They're going to lose the best of seven series. They are doing... the Surrender Cobra.
The best of seven was a nice detail there. I appreciate that. We have more games than we need in this goddamn country. Could wrap it in one. We're going to game eight. First time ever.
It's impossible. Well, welcome to America.
Bottom of the ninth. Super Bowl.
So I got an email the other day about this from Adam McCracken.
They're too dependent on the threes. Let's get back to basics and play real basketball. Otherwise, these Jaguars will be doing the Surrender Cobra. All their goddamn lives.
Where are you in the cinch when his base is loaded? That's what you got to be asking yourself.
He's a clutch player.
Adam McCracken emailed me saying, good afternoon, sir. After the discussion of the Surrender Cobra and the reference to the Michigan State Derby, that's the one where there's a fumble.
Derby, get Derby. It right.
And whoever's one of them snatches... Well, one of them snatches defeat from the jaws of victory, basically.
I love how them things work in America as well. Like, imagine you, like, Cedric and I, different teams, Sunderland, Newcastle, different cities, all this sort of rivalry and all this kind of history.
It's a city now. I thought it was a town.
Piss off. Now. Anyway.
It was a town that won it.
Aye, 1992, actually. and it's like, we, like, turned a church into a minster to tick the box. Minster is massive, actually. Smallest church I ever got then, so. Michigan, right? You live in Michigan. I hate Michigan. I'm a Michigan State man. What?
I thought it might pop you to know that in college football, specifically, Lots of rivalry games have ridiculous names, or even more, often completely ridiculous trophies. For example, the game in question, Michigan versus Michigan State, is played for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. Take a look at that.
Is Paul, Paul, is he the big lad?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Why?
But
Big Bunyan.
But I know you're thinking, boys, you've looked at that and you've gone, well, that must be the only Paul Bunyan-themed trophy in college football. Nope. Wisconsin and Minnesota play for Paul Bunyan's ex. Play for the ex.
Play for the ex.
And
secondary title in progress.
Obviously, you read that, Sage, and you think, well,
can't get any stupider.
It's all well and good. Surely that's the only axe that gets played for. Nope, California and Stanford play for the axe. There it is there, posing with us.
It's like when Murray pulls up like a Scottish football image and like somebody's man of the match and they've won a toaster.
Yeah. So there are literally four games named the Battle for the Bell. Right. Cincinnati versus Miami of Ohio, Marshall versus Ohio, Southern Mississippi versus Tulane, and South Alabama versus Troy. The phenomenon also extends a bit to basketball. In Cincinnati, we have two big basketball schools, University of Cincinnati and my alma mater, Xavier University, who play yearly in the Crosstown Shootout.
Good.
But finally, I imagine that this one will interest you the most, is the rivalry game contested between Mississippi State and the University of Mississippi. Right? You know, in American football, you have the Super Bowl. Well, the contest between Mississippi State and the University of Mississippi is known as the
Egg
Bowl, the winner of which receives a golden egg.
Great.
So we are packing up this as a wrestling podcast and we're switching over to college football.
Do you remember that American sports deep dive we did that time?
Yeah.
We found all those team names. They just do, but like
everything. Senna lizards.
They just do it better/weirder in America. And I like that about them.
But thank you so much for that, Adam McCracken.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Right. This has been the Raw Preview, apparently. Let us know your thoughts on tonight's show on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. I will be back tomorrow to review Monday Night Raw, but the Daddy Boys will be hopefully on their way to America.
And God bless the United States.
So make sure if you are heading to Las Vegas for Double or Nothing,
get the
for
beers.
AEW Rampage, make sure you try and catch up with the boys. You're going to be going to all the shows and what have you, and yeah. Reporting from there. Have an amazing time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can't wait.
And we will do this again in, I don't know.
How many, roughly?
Oh, yeah, it might be about
9 days
before we're back together. But yeah, have an amazing time in Las Vegas. Make sure you follow the boys on Twitter to keep up with their movements. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.